I've got to look at John 15. John 15, the vine and the branch. God is good. The message today is on the perfect man, 4, 5, 6. The perfect man, 4, 5, 6. The interesting thing about being perfect is you don't do it. What's interesting about it is you don't do anything to create yourself, to redeem yourself, to sanctify yourself, to glorify God. You don't do anything. Now, that's really important. And so I chose this passage to read out of because it makes it clear that apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. That's verse 5. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Now, if you take that just as I'm a Christian in chair 4, chair 4 could worship God because of chair 4. He sanctified you. I mean, he justified you by faith. But what if it isn't that those who are justified by faith go to heaven? Those who are justified by faith made a good beginning, but it's not he who begins. There's a scripture. It's not he who begins. So what is it?
Who remains?
Yeah. It's not he who begins, but he who endures, chair 5, to the end, chair 6. So he's not coming back for a harlot church. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And I would say most of the churches in Dallas, Fort Worth, and throughout the world are lukewarm. I would say that they only arrived at being born again, but never got cleansed. He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's perfect. The perfect man. So God actually expects you to believe that he keeps his promise. He began a good work in you. Let him, don't help him, don't cooperate with him, don't agree to anything except God has to keep his promise. That's the gospel. He doesn't have to like your works. In fact, he walks among the lampstands pointing out the works of the church thus far, including our own day. And he concludes that if you're a Christian today and you only go to chair 4, you'll be lukewarm and you will not be ready when the Lord comes. You won't be ready because you're not perfect, and you have to be perfect. To go to heaven, all the sin has to be gone. Now, how many of you are working on your 18th sin? Or your 47th sin? Nobody, right? Because you don't do it. You just believe that he's doing it. And so it doesn't matter if you're one day old or if you're a Christian 50 years or 80. The point is, God either does it all or it isn't done at all. Either he keeps his promise, because he shouldn't have promised that. He shouldn't have said, I'm the one you can trust to be Savior, chair 4, Lord, chair 5, Bridegroom, chair 6. He's the one. He promised the good work I began, I'll surely complete. So either he hasn't or he has. What do you think? Is an empty promise? Is it what they call precatory? It's just a wish? I wish you'd shape up. Because he doesn't use force. So someone could think that. Well, if I do nothing, then nothing will be the result. So most people feel the opposite. I would say all Christians that I know, with few exceptions. They feel that God has done his part to get you to chair 4. And then it's your job to sanctify yourself, stop all the sinning you're doing, and start behaving yourself until you become a lover. if I'm right, and I am right, but if I'm right, you don't do anything.
Nothing.
The foundation is laid in chair four. You are a new creation. But that new creation has to be builded. Chair five, your death. Chair six, your resurrection. Now, since pastors, as far as I know, are not geared to disciple people, chair five, you won't die. You'll keep your lust. You'll keep your bitterness. You'll keep your fear. You'll keep your anxiety, your judgmentalism. You'll keep all of that and just lower the tone because you're a Christian. That's lukewarm. And so they're not even geared for that. Pastors don't do like I do. I teach during the week, all week long, small groups of people that want to grow in the Lord. And they want to. They know that this sevenfold chair thing really has eight. I never draw it on there. It's eternity. But this idea that you are a new creation is not anything like the old flesh creation of nature. It's not anything like it. Man at his best state, that is, you have a very strong will. Man at his best state, you're disciplined. You have a desire to please God, make an offering to him, sacrifice, work hard. That's what Christianity is today. God saves you in order for you to shape up. Keep the law. Be subject to the burden of bondage, the yoke of bondage. That's the greatest sin in God's sight. I'm going to say it again because it's strong. It's the greatest sin in God's sight. Is a man trying to establish his own righteousness. He would rather you be cold. A complete atheist that hates him and despises him. But there's hope for him. But the one who feels, well, I'm already a Christian. Well, are you growing? I don't know. That's God. You know, God's supposed to do something or other. No, he already has done it. And it's just you haven't seen it yet. So you just rest until he trains you. I'd say most churches, most pastors, they don't even know how to disciple. In fact, there's nothing set up in any church to do that. But you know, Vicki, that it's important every week to be in the Word. It's important to have constant input because you're a new creation. So you have to be fed the daily food that God provides. Give us this day our daily bread is not referring to bread. It's referring to I am the bread of life. That's what it's referring to. Of course, it may include bread. That's what we say at the table. Thanks God for the food. But that's not really the meaning. The daily bread is you have to read the Bible every day. Did you all hear what I said? Because if you don't, you slip back. You will fall back to one or two.
Amen.
You will. And I can't do that for you. I'm only here one day a week or something. But I can't do that for you. I just tell you how Christianity works. I can tell you this is Christianity. You have to be justified by faith, four, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who fills you every day with his presence, and glorified every day as a lover. So, you're born again, you're discipled, and then you are perfected. Now, the other view is that you're still subject to law. It's just maybe faith was first. Okay, now I'll do the law after faith. I'll do the law after faith. Then you did it. Flesh cannot please God. You have to be born of the Spirit. The reason you're born is not to then rest and do nothing. The reason you're born is to rest and do nothing. Now, this is what he says. If you read the word every day, faith cometh by hearing. Your faith will become active in love. So, love is the last chair. Love is the last chair. Faith, active in love. But it's the active that is your death. It's the active that is your death. Faith, active, working. Actually, the word is ergon, working through. So, if your faith is working through, he's pointing out sin. Why does he do that for a believer? You've already been forgiven of your sins in chair four, because you can't go to heaven. You've been forgiven, but you haven't been cleansed. So to cleanse you, you have to tear down the old building and put a new roof on it. You have to do it. You cannot put a new roof on top of an old roof. You can't. You have to tear off the old and put on a new. I mean, that's the code today. You cannot just put on a new roof. You have to say how many layers are there and whatnot and so on and so forth. So in order to finish this building, you have to be perfect. So I want to talk today about the perfect man. As far as I know, I'm the only one that's really teaching this. I'm sure there's 7,000 others. So I'm not bragging. I'm just simply saying I don't believe the other preachers. I don't believe what they're talking about. I believe they've missed it. I'm not criticizing. It's a fact. I believe that they're not teaching the truth because no one likes it. No one likes it. No one wants to be disciplined. They don't mind being born. But little babies aren't disciplined. And if you try to discipline them, they resist. And they fight against you. You have to discipline a child to teach him right from wrong. Not to control him, but to free him. Not to control him, but to free him. So if you're not disciplining your youngsters, those that are not mature, not yet 18 or whatever the age is, 21, whatever. So you have to then realize that God wants everyone to be mature. Every man mature in Christ. Every man perfect in Christ. The word is teleo, which means the end. That's the end. Right there. Seven will be what we will be when the Lord returns, because that is the bride that made herself ready. That's the bride that made herself ready. So, I can't ask you how many of you are there. I can only say that there's hardly anybody there because pastors don't even know about it. I wouldn't say they know about it and don't do it. I just say they don't know about it. When they read those words, they just brush over them. Yeah, just try the best you can. Or do as much as you want. People want rewards for their works. And they get mad if you don't give it to them. They want rewards. I did it. By golly. I want rewards for what I did. It won't work. So I am opposed to anyone who teaches otherwise. That teaches you cooperate, you work alongside, you you're the builder, you know, build your house on a rock. You're the builder. No, you're the building. The church is people. The kingdom of God's within you. So the kingdom of God is not anything you did. You didn't do the kingdom of God. Only God builds his own kingdom. Has to be done perfectly. And he does it. So he's used Jesus then to be Savior, Lord, and Bridegroom. Now, is anybody following me? Okay, so I'll use these two chairs. This chair will be you behaving yourself, man in his best state, strong will, stubborn, stiff-necked, because you know, if you strive to please God, you'll fail. There's never been a human being that has ever succeeded. Nobody. Even Paul said, you know, not that I'm already made perfect. I mean, there's no one that ever was made perfect. That comes at the end of history, and we haven't arrived there yet. So this is the law, and this is the gospel. So this is the gospel, good news. Jesus did it all, and he always wants to do it, and he's the only one that could do it. You cannot do it. He wants your love, joy, peace, and all those fruits that come out of you, which are him. They're not you. They're him. And when he's done with you, when a disciple, chair five, is fully taught, you'll be like the master. Now, how many of you want me to continue? Because I love this message. So I'm going to give you one of my favorite passages in John 15 about the vine and the branch. The branch, if you break it off from the tree that it was grafted into, cannot bear fruit. The minute you break the branch, that's it. That's it. That's what Jesus did to Judaism. That's how he cursed Judaism. He didn't curse it because they were sinful. He cursed it because they did not believe in him, that he had a gospel that was free, a gift. You can't earn it. You can't cooperate with God. You can't do anything. This stumbles most people because everybody has been trained from youth to behave yourself even if they misbehave. But they were trained to behave yourself. You just didn't do it. So chair one or two. Chair one or two has to be repented of. Chair two is not normally done until chair five. Chair two, hypocrite, lukewarm, phony, fake. The only way you can get rid of yourself is you can't. You cannot stop sinning. I guarantee you, you may think, well, I don't swear anymore, or I don't get angry anymore. I've overcome that. I went to a management class on, you know, anger management. Now I'm not angry anymore. I don't believe any of that. That's not acceptable to God. God is not going to say, oh, look, he managed his anger. Wonder what sin he's going to work on next. No. He knows that unless he does it, it's not perfect. And so the only way you can go is free gift. This gospel, this good news, that's what gospel means, euangelion. It means good news. This is so good because you don't do anything. Everybody hates that because they want to do something to show appreciation or that I appropriated the gospel or that I did something. That's your sin. Right there is your sin. God doesn't care about your behavior. What he cares about is you didn't believe him. You did not believe him. That's why they killed him. They killed him not because he was wrong. They killed him because they didn't want to submit to the law. But it wasn't the law. It was the gospel. They didn't want to submit to that either. In fact, they hated him for that, and that's why they killed him. Because he was insisting that God just overlooks the sin and just saves you. He doesn't overlook your sin. God never tolerates sin. God hates sin with a passion. But the only way you can do it is by faith alone and not by works of your own. So it's either my works or it's God's promise. It's either my works or it's God's promise. It's either my works or it's God's promise. It's powerful. And this is why we'll probably not have thousands of people listening to me. But I'm right. I know I'm right. Because I read the Bible every day, and it's crystal clear from beginning to end, God wants a perfect people. The Old Testament. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. I think the word there is Tam, T-A-M. There's a lot of words for perfect, but that's one of them. Shalom is also another word, and there are a lot of words. But be ye perfect as I am perfect, or be ye holy, tzaddik, as I am tzaddik. In other words, I'm the measure, you're not. I'm the measure that you're trying to measure by, you're my people. And if you're my people and you're a new creation, then you're able to do the things that God did because he created you in the image, Betzalemnu, ke demutnu. That means you're in the image and likeness of God. So you'll be like Jesus. You'll be Christ-like, one, two, three. That is, four, five, six. You'll be justified, sanctified, and glorified. When men see your good works, they'll glorify the Father in heaven. If they see the flesh doing something strenuous, they will admire you, but you're not going to heaven. Because you misunderstood God. And that's your own responsibility to understand him. That's why you need to listen every day to the Lord. And then you come with questions, and the sermon will answer those questions. I'm certain of it. I'm absolutely certain of it. So if you don't do that, if you don't read the Bible every day and focus on the promise, you only focus on your works, you're not going to grow. So is everybody with me so far? You don't have to get this in your heart. I don't want you to appropriate it. Just want you to get the concept down. There's only two ways to please God. Either do everything that he said perfectly, or just believe on Jesus. And the second one is so easy, people hate it. Because it's like, you've already done everything. Of course, he did everything. When he died, you died. When he rose, you rose. When he reigns, you reign. It's not a future. You will reign. No. You are going to reign. And you're already reigning by faith. But you don't see it. Because it's a promise. Promises always extend over time. If I sell you my watch today, and you might give me a dollar for it, there's no time. Because you gave me the dollar, I gave you the watch, it's over. But promises are like a promissory note. It's over an expanse of time. So you always have to read about time in the Bible. When is the millennium? When is the great white throne judgment? When is the Satan surrounding the camp of the saints up in the air? When is everything, that's all future, by the way. When will that occur? When's he coming back? Well, as soon as he comes back, he's going to marry his bride. Only those that are ready are ready. He won't marry a harlot. He'll examine her. He'll look her over to see whether she has any spot, any wrinkle, any stain, any blemish, anything that is sinful. Anything. So you can't have even one sin. That's why he says to the early church, this is how it all began, you've lost your first love. Ephesus. And then the second one, they suffered so much that there was no sin mentioned, because they were suffering to it. If you suffer, you're likely not to sin. You're really focused on dying and living. I hope I can escape this. But, you can't. So there's no sin in them because they're not even thinking of sin. Right now they're just thinking of, can I stay alive? Then chair four has all kinds of things interesting, Nicolaitans and all kinds of things. And by the way, the first church also hated the word Nikos, which is victory. Laiton. That's why Nike shoes are important, because they were the Greek equivalent of tennis shoes or something like that. So that's how you ran. But God points out the sin, and the sin in our day is Laodicea, a lukewarm church. So how can you be hot in a lukewarm church? Ha! How can you not be hot? I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I would not do that if I were God. I would send my sheep into a safe pasture and put a guard over the door or something. I wouldn't send them out. But God does. He absolutely does. So since he does, I realize from your point of view, I may have failed over the years to preach the gospel, but I didn't. It's just that people don't like the gospel I preach because to me it's tremendous good news, especially for sinners. But even for the self-righteous, it sets people free. Why? Because it's good news. It's always good news. You have never seen me sad or unhappy or whatever, and you never will. Because everything is going my way. Why? Because my way is Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. That's where your dad is, Dora. Your dad is there. Not because he lived a good life and you could give accolades to him. He lived a good life because he believed that Jesus Christ would take care of all that. He was passive. And when you're passive, you'd have to really believe there was a God if you're passive. You'd have to believe that what you read in the Bible was true. Otherwise, you'd go the other way. You'd try to earn his favor. You'd make a sacrifice, make an offering, do something that people say, oh, thank you, that was wonderful. You don't want that. What you want is to do nothing and let God do it, and you're afraid he won't. You're afraid he won't come through. I prayed for this basket to go in, and it didn't go in. Well, that's the end of praying. I prayed for him to heal me, and I'm sick, and so on. That's how people pray. I'm just telling you, you'll have to trust God. It's a time thing. You have no control over God. Now, is he faithful or is he not? I'll testify to you, he's faithful. But that has nothing to do with behavior. That has to do with his behavior. His behavior is, I made a promise. He didn't make a law. As a matter of fact, he's against the law. He calls that the yoke of bondage. You're under pressure. You're under stress. You're under strain. All our medical problems, all of our financial problems, everything is related to that hard work that people try to do and fail every single time. So, did you know that all have sinned? Everyone here has at least one sin. Can you think of one? Can you just think of one sin that you haven't yet conquered? Just raise your hand. You don't have to say what it is, but just raise your hand. There is a sin. You're judgmental. You're critical of others. You know, on and on and on. Fear, anxious, worried, nervous. Proud, etc. But there's no pride in Christianity. Pride's a sin. So there's no pride. Huh. I'm awesome. I mean, there's no pride. There's no pride. That's a sin. Anger, that's a sin. Lust, that's a sin. Self-pity, that's a sin. Envy, lust, self-pity, pride. There's seven of them. There's seven strongholds that you have to overcome every single day. So, no pride, no anger, no lust, no self-pity, no fear, no envy, no doubt. Y'all clear on all of those seven? How is it? I can't do that. Of course you can't do it. Those are strongholds. They're so strong, you can't do it. You're so strong, you can't do it. You cannot overthrow Satan. Let's say you have a bad habit. Some people here might have a bad habit. You're addicted, maybe, to something. Worry, fear, doubt, etc. You can't overcome it. You may think you did because you changed your behavior, but he didn't change the sin. Chair four, you're forgiven for all your sins, but they're still on you. You are still alive, and as long as you're alive, you will sin. As long as you are alive, until that trumpet sounds, you will sin. So don't, sorry to say this, but don't think, I think I'll arrive at the right place someday. Someday. No, you will never arrive anywhere. It's all done or it isn't done at all. Either Jesus did it all and the promise is good. You can wait till the end of the promise. Israel has waited a long time for God to make her the ruler of this world. And while you and I are in heaven with Jesus, we will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. It's mentioned several times in the Bible. So Israel finally will rule over the world, but we'll be ruling over them. The Lamb and his bride, us, we will rule over them because God rules over us, and we just say what he says. We just agree with God. Why? Because we received it by faith. We didn't receive it by works. We had no works. How many know that you're not really a good worker? You are a good worker if you're after pride and reward and so on and so forth, but you're not really a good worker. You're actually a failure, pretending like you accomplished a lot. And it's sad to me, to see, we had two young homeschool kids yesterday, and they were awesome. I mean, you could not, you can't produce this in a normal school. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I couldn't believe it. All the things that these two kids had done. And so we all clapped and praised, and then that's it. Because it's just behavior. It's just behavior. Now, they all spoke of Jesus. They all loved Jesus. But the truth is, it was just their effort. It was their effort. They're the ones that were disciplined enough to study. They're the ones that, you know, played basketball every day. They're the ones that, you know, played the piano every day. They're the ones that played the cello every day, and so on and so forth. They did everything. I mean, these kids are like phenomenal. I don't hold a candle to them. I can't even do my own job well, because I'm totally dependent upon Jesus Christ to be merciful to me, forgive all my sins, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So he's a cleaner. Now, let's read and see if you can see these two chairs up here about either a promise, that's how you please God, or by the law. I am the true vine, Jesus says, 15:1. And my Father is the vine dresser. So he's the one that clips you. He's the one that, I think in grape culture, there's about 8 cuttings in the year. And the first cutting, the first one, is cut it so that only 10 of the 40 branches survive. Only 10. So 1/4. So they cut off everything but those 10. And all the juice then, because the roots have been sunk deep, and each year they get deeper and deeper and deeper. They can go down as much as 30, 40 feet looking for moisture or nutrients. That's why they survive. That's why they can be old. I mean, they're incredible. So then you have to then clip them from time to time, so that all the leaves are facing up and so on and so forth. And there are some that do it vertically. There's some that do it, you know, flat. There's different ways. You just put it on a fence and so on. But the best way is to have some kind of a slope that follows the sun. So you really want to go like that. And they haven't invented that yet. But the grapes are produced because it's a lot of work on man's part, a lot of work. But here's what he said. I'm the vine. Wow. That changes it because everything for him is free. Everything for him is free. Christians would be happier if they were free. Not just as a concept, as a reality. The reason I'm in Christ, God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So if God was in Christ, then all my righteousness is a filthy rag. And everything I do is a filthy rag. It's a rag that stinks, and you don't want to smell it. You don't want to be around it. And that's why God says of your works, they're like a stench in my nostrils. Ooh, that had your signature on it. That had your... You did that. So don't be mad at your misbehavior, and don't be mad at your behavior. Then you're under the law. Be only happy that Jesus Christ has good news for you. That's why he didn't talk about conscience. Every man has a conscience. Helps you to self-preserve. It also has certain values that, you know, you count as good. He didn't talk about that. He didn't talk about the law of Moses. He didn't talk about it. As a matter of fact, he talked against both of those, because self-preservation will not make you go to heaven. Just trying to preserve myself. No. His words are, make no provision for the flesh. How many understand the word no? Is, you know, it's like, no. It's like, golly. But you see, only God can show you that, and he won't show you 15 sins in a day. He only is the one showing you. Which one of the 15 is the one I'm supposed to be looking at, God? So he may show you all those sins, but they're not, only one is important. It's like an onion, you have to peel it. So, God, I'm on one a day brand, you know. I can't get rid of two sins in a day. I can't even think of it. Which one are we working on, my anger or my bitterness? You know, you can't think of it. So God has made it so easy. This is purely a gift of God. The gospel is good news, and here's the good news. Jesus does it all. So, it's just Jesus does it all. So, chair 4 leads to chair 5, because you have to test everything in the fire. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. So, it's a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. So, he wants the fire to burn up your sin. That's the only thing that will destroy sin. God's fire, not your fire. God, not your will. Otherwise, people are willful under the law because they know, hey, I need to do something for God. I need, you know, to at least have something unwritten on my tombstone or something. I need to have been decent once in a while. Well, you never were. So that's an imagination. That's called vain imagination. You were always critical. You were, even if you don't express it, it's there. And the right moment can bring it out. And you're always embarrassed by that. Ooh, that's not like me. But it's exactly like you. It's exactly like you. Because we're all alike. Did you know that we're all alike? Everybody. All have sinned and fallen short. Well, he was shorter than I. No, it's not that way. You're all short. So, man at his best state is altogether vanity. And all your righteousness, Isaiah 64:4, is as a filthy rag. So what God wants is everyone to be Christ-like. So your goal in life is to be 6, Christ-like. That's the one he's coming back for. He will not come back for anyone that has self-love. He'll come back for someone that's dead. Well, I can't do that. I can't love God with all my heart and soul and strength. And I can't love my neighbor as myself. That's the end of the law, by the way. The second part is the end of the law. The first part, worship God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. The second part is love your neighbor as yourself. Boom, it's over. You can't do either of those. In fact, you can't keep any law that God ever made. Jesus kept the law. You didn't keep it. And he's the one that made the promise. The one that keepeth God's law is the one that made the promise to you. I'm not asking you to be the atonement. I'm asking not for you to make an offering. I don't want you to make a sacrifice for God. I want to make the sacrifice for you. Well, that's good news. That is good news. He doesn't care what your behavior is. You think he does? I'll tell you why you think that is because it says, you know, he'll judge your works. That's true. He'll judge your works. Only to see whether you went through chair 4 and 5 and 6. Most people skip 5 and just try to go to 6. That's called legalism. You didn't want to die. You didn't want to suffer. You didn't want to be retaught. You didn't want to be disciplined as a child. You wanted to grow up. And parents are very proud of the children that are disciplined. And they're not proud of the children who are undisciplined. Gee, you had such potential when you were 7, but now you've really turned into an addict and whoremonger and so on and so forth. No, that's not the case. With God, you're all precious. Everybody here is fearfully and wonderfully made. Right, Dora?
In him.
In him. So since that's the case, he made you so that you were capable of having his image and therefore having the capacity to be like him. So you can be like him, Christ-like. That's your whole goal. And you don't go to heaven without those. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You didn't do that diligently. He did that too. As a matter of fact, when you get before the great white throne judgment, you will answer this way. God, you're looking at the wrong book. I'm in the Lamb's book of life where Jesus did it all. I have faith in him. But if you said, I did a lot of things. I did a lot. I tried. At least I tried. At least I tried. No, that doesn't count. You're just either going to make it or not. Now, let's look at the vine and the branch. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, not bearing fruit, he takes it away. So as soon as God can see you're not bearing fruit, you don't do it. He, God, takes it away. Because he's the vine dresser. So God only shows you a sin. Listen carefully. Only shows you a sin. Not so that you'll feel bad about it. Doesn't want you to be condemned. Doesn't want you to feel guilty. He wants you to say just these words. I confess it. I did that. That's all he wanted you to say. Don't say anything else. Don't do anything else. Yeah, that's me. I did that. I exaggerated right there. I lied over there. I did this. I was judgmental of that person. And I worked hard and I felt like I was overlooked and so on. All of that is just simply confessing your sin. Not professing it with your mouth, but confessing it as a matter of faith in Jesus. Jesus, I did that. We're the only ones that can look at sin and say, I did it. Every other religion, well, Christianity is the same, but that's not right. I'm just teaching what true Christianity is. True Christianity is where you're always at peace, you're always, always in love with Jesus for that good news. Chair 5 is the foundation. Abraham was looking for a city with foundations. There it is. You are the New Jerusalem. You don't know that, but you are the New Jerusalem. And what I want is no one here to fail. I don't want you to fail. So what do? Nothing. Just do nothing. Well, I'm good at that, Pastor. I know how to do nothing. He's not meaning it that way. He's meaning that you don't have any confidence in your works to please God. You're born of the Spirit. Wait when the Spirit tells you to talk or, you know, do something. When the Spirit tells you, then it's done in faith. It's done in faith because you don't see the immediate result. So what God wants for you is to be a faith people. Now, he's having trouble getting that out of the Jewish people, and he's having trouble with the Gentile people, but he's not having trouble with us, who are a third group. Jew and Gentile seems to be everybody's understanding. It's not true. There's three groups. Us, who have been born again, 4, 5, 6, the perfect man. The perfect man. You can be that today. Why? Because it's by faith. All you have to do is make a decision. And when I say that, it's not a work. Just make a decision. In other words, you're acting on faith. I'm going to be the perfect man. I will grow up that way. That's all. I raised three girls and one boy. And I just said, I don't want you to get good grades, and I don't want you to do all those achievement things. What I want you to do is be a godly woman and a godly man. And that's true. They really are. I mean, it's incredible. I'm so amazed. I didn't do that. I did not do that. But when they became 18 or 21 or whatever, when was it, Margaret?
21.
That's when we had our talk, I remember. I let go. So this is now that you're 21, you're an adult, and I don't have any, you can't obey me anymore. You make your own decisions, good or bad, you make them. And you can either, you know, do Jesus' thing, not intellectually, but from the heart. You can either do that or not do that, but that's up to you. And you can ask me to help, but you can't expect me to help. I'm not going to help. But if you ask, yeah, I'd be glad to do it. But you're another person. You're a real person. And I think that's the way to raise kids, so that they're independent of you, not dependent upon you. Amen. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because I raise them always with the view that someday they'll be mature, age-wise, even if they're immature spiritually. But they'll be mature. So just do the best you can, meaning we just did what we did. But we didn't pay. I did not pay attention. Maybe Mom did. Yeah. But it's okay. You know, never wonder about that. Never wonder about what Mom says. She's Mom. She will always be Mom. She's perfect Mom. Anyway, it worked because God is good. Now, here's how the branch works. Every branch that in me not bearing fruit, he takes it away. And each one bearing fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. That's exactly it in grape raising. You clip it so that it even bears more fruit. You just keep doing it. That's what he's saying. So if you don't bear fruit, he just removes you and takes you away from the tree. But if you do bear fruit, he still clips you. So no matter what, he's going to discipline you, because children has to be chastened. You have to spank them. I don't know when the last time you were spanked. What was it? 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago? A year ago? He's hard to spank now.
He runs too fast. We like to wake up in the morning and just start with that.
Yeah.
Let's just get it over with.
So, people are not disciplined today. This is the most lawless generation ever. I mean, all generations are lawless. But this one is just people deliberately, consciously, knowingly rebelling against authority that God has given to make a just government. And it's right here in America. It's right here in America. It's not in the third world anymore. It's right here in America. People are not American. They don't even believe in all that stuff. They don't believe in anything. So I don't know how many there are, but let's say there's 20%, or, you know, some say even, or, you know, even the Democrats say more than half, you know. But that's all nonsense. It's a handful of people that are provocateurs that stir up these young people. In fact, they hold the placard up and it says something like, kill Trump or something like this. And you go to them and say, well, what do you believe? I don't know. Well, you have a sign that says kill Trump. Yeah, that's what I believe. But they didn't know. They even have to go and say, why did you give me this sign? They don't know why they're doing it, because someone paid them. They're paid provocateurs, troublemakers, thugs. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, that takes a lukewarm church to do nothing. The lukewarm church has no ability to make cold hot or lukewarm hot. Only the hot can make somebody hot. So, do you believe then that this branch will bear fruit under the law? Never did. You can read the whole Old Testament. It's 3/4 of your Bible. You can read the whole Old Testament. They never, ever had a perfect Shabbat shalom. Never. At any time. So no one can say that. They say it as a matter of professing. But the truth is, they're just going through the ritual. They're just behaving themselves. Nodding at the Western Wall does not make you Jewish. All the behavior in this world is going to burn up. Everything that you built or saved or whatever, it's going to be burned. Nothing. Nothing will remain. And you won't even be here. You'll be up in heaven. And you don't need to bring your stuff with you. So leave your stuff. One time they were in Israel and they said, you know, we're trying to get as much of a stuff. Just leave your stuff. There's plenty here. And you're going to be in the land of Goshen. You're going to be so blessed beyond measure. It's good to go to a hotel or something where everything is ready. It's all made up and, you know, you don't have to do anything except sleep there and mess it up and let the, you know, those people that fix everything up, let them fix it up. It's for somebody else. God is like that. He wants you to come home, and home is in heaven with Him forever and ever and ever. Here's what about the branches. You are already pruned. You are already pruned. It's already happened. You're already pruned. What? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, you've already been cleansed. Why? Because Jesus was. Because Jesus was. Because Jesus was. When He was cleansed, you were cleansed. That is, when He died, He rose again. And so what? Because when He died, you died. And when He rose, you rose. And when He reigns, you reign. And so all of that is going to come to pass. Remain in Me and I in you. It sounds like something you do. You don't do this. You cannot remain in Him. I'm telling you right now, there's nobody ever that has done it, even appearances to the contrary, notwithstanding. Nobody ever has remained in Him. There's always times when you get angry, and there's always times when a sin will come up and so on. It's not even possible. You can't remain in Him. Lord, remember Peter once said that? Lord, even if they all forsake you tonight, I'm not doing it. I'm not. I'm ready to die for you. That would be a sacrifice that God would have to accept. He didn't. He didn't accept it. Jesus spoke to him ahead of time, promise. After you repent, tell the other brothers, everything's going to be all right. Because Jesus has total confidence that what God promised will come to pass on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. It's the millennium. That's the millennium. The millennium hadn't yet happened. That's when the Jews rule the world over the Gentiles. And you don't believe it because you don't understand. They will restore their sacrifice. They will go back to the old Judaism because they can't shake it. But many people today in Israel have already accepted Yeshua HaMashiach because he's the Messiah. And they now believe that. But most of them are not Orthodox. Most of them are not religious. Most of them are secular Jews. And they have accepted Jesus. They're open to it. So open. But if you're Orthodox, you can't be. That would be a sin. Because you can't just think God would reward somebody who's no good. But he did that for me. He did that for me. He did that for you, Willis. And Sam. Amen. Randy. So, the wives have it easy because they're dependent upon his guy keeping his promise. How many know that the man you marry won't? But it's okay. Because if they're a Christian and they look to God, they will by faith. But they won't, in fact. Can you put up with his flaws?
I love his flaws.
I love his flaws. I love that.
That was a great
answer. That's a great answer. That's good. That's good.
I know.
All right. So I'm almost done here. Let's see. Remain in me and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself. The branch, you break the branch off from Jesus, it can produce no law, no behavior, no morals, no nice, nothing. You are not in Jesus. You're in Buddha, you're in, you know, Mohammedism, I don't care what it is, you're under a law. You're under the yoke of bondage. It's Baalism. You call it what you want. Buddhism, Hinduism, they're all the same thing. Behave yourself. This is the only religion that teaches. I'm not talking about the lukewarm church. I'm talking about real Christianity teaches that everything is by promise. Everything that God has ever done. He made the world without you. Can't he build you into his likeness, image and likeness? He can. So you now have the image, you're a Christian. You look like God and you're going to answer to God because you talk and he talks and you will and he wills and so on and so forth. So it's easy, but you don't do it. It's all promise. The good work I began in you, I will certainly complete it. So you're already perfect right now. It doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear. But you're already perfect because you believe this promise. Now, if you don't, you're not a believer. So the only thing is to believe that I will be perfect when that trump sounds. Look like it, but I already am now. I'm perfect now. I'm perfect now. Isn't that amazing? So that's hard. Because churches don't teach that. They teach that Jesus started it and you complete it. I don't believe that. I don't believe flesh can achieve anything, even when you've been redeemed, chair 4. I believe you have to go through the fire. That's the test. If you can make it through the chastening and the instruction and all of that teaching, you'll be like the master, chair 6. That's the result of chair 5. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is to kill you so he can resurrect you. Kill you so he can resurrect you. So you're born again 4, then you're filled with the Spirit in 5, and then you're resurrected. And a new person that lets Jesus do everything. Why? Because he does. He does everything that could be done. And he's done it all. As a matter of fact, he already did it 6,000 years ago when the world began. He did it. He did everything. All the works that you work now actually were done way back there. Because he perfectly lived his life in such a way that he knew at a certain point he'll go downstairs and tell everybody how great the Father is. So he immediately began his whole message with these words: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's right here. It's in me. As a matter of fact, he was the only temple. The temple buildings were not the temple. The temple was Jesus, in whom God dwells perfectly. Now we are the only temple. Because we're the Lamb and his bride, he wanted to marry us. We're betrothed to him. Right now you're not the wife. You're going to be the wife. But in a short period of time, you'll be the bride and then you'll be the wife. Everything then is you are the temple of the living God. You are the Holy Spirit has cleansed you, not only forgiven you, but cleansed you, chair 4 or 5. So that you may walk in newness of life. And we do. But we didn't have anything to do with it. We had nothing to do with it. God is not an inactive deist God far off. He's active every minute of every second, knowing everything that goes on. He sees all the wickedness. He sees all of the righteousness. He sees it all. And he's separating today his sheep from his goats. He's dividing his flock, his foolish virgins from the wise virgins. He's now separating everything out so that the true church, when he judges, come out from the midst of her, my people. Many people today are in denominations or various names, which are all man-made, various means of the church. Those local churches have to teach the truth. The truth is promise, promise, promise. Faith in his promise, faith in his promise. So how much has he promised you? Everything. He's left nothing like you're going to get just a doghouse, you're going to get to live in the mansion. It's nothing like that. God does not reward you according to your deeds. The deed only shows, and you know what the deed is? Any deed that you do in the Spirit reveals Jesus Christ. Any deed that you do in the Spirit is not that, you know, you gave him a loaf of bread. It's not the cup. It's not anything like that. It's just that it shows Jesus and they marvel. When men see your good works that you did, then what will they do? They will marvel. They will just like, wow, that's God. So they thank God for that. They don't thank you for living in Sam, for living in Vicky. That's what they do. Wow, you must be a child of God. This is pagans, not cold ones. This is not Christians, lukewarm Christians would go, well, you know, you're in for a ride. You know, hope you make it. No, these are pagans that are just say, wow. That's God. That's God. Nebuchadnezzar had that view of Daniel. And every, including Egypt, then Assyria, then Babylon, then Persia, Greece, and Rome. 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 So the last Antichrist will be part of the Roman Empire. The old Roman Empire. Don't care who it is and don't guess. You'll guess wrong. It's not whom you think. It's whom God has appointed to know. This one is going to hate Christianity. It's not anything you're thinking. It's something that people have guessed over the years who it is. They have guessed who the three nations are that the Antichrist subdues. I know why they can't find them. It's impossible, because they're part of a single nation right now, and that single nation is made up of those three tribes. South, Middle, North. And so those are the three. Why? Because they have implacable hatred toward Israel. When Israel came out of Egypt, those three nations, if I named them, you'd understand them, but I'm not. Those three nations, when Israel came and said, give us some water, let us, you know, have some fellowship because we're related to you by blood. We have Abraham's blood in us. One came from Lot, one came, what's the nephew? And then one came from Esau, the Edomites, and so on and so forth. Those three nations on the other side of Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan River, those three nations will be perpetually in hatred against the Jewish people, even though they're relatives. And so God told them, now look, when you come into the land, don't harm these people. Amalekites are okay, and so others. But don't harm these people. Why? Because salvation will go forth to them. I hope you're blessed today. Amen. Hope you understood that my message was simple. The perfect man. I want you to be perfect. Could you be perfect? Is it possible? Randy?
In Jesus.
Yeah, in Jesus. Yeah. Right. That's what you're in. Dora. Yeah, in him. Yeah, that's the answer. The answer is everybody can be perfect because it's not up to you. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Generally, this message won't pass muster, but because it's the truth, it will. So, you haven't seen anything yet. Much more in the future than there's ever been in the past. It'll only be for 1,000 years, but that future millennium will tell the whole story. And then everything will come to an end, and fire will destroy this heaven and earth, and a bride will come down, which is the New Jerusalem, and form the new heavens and the new earth after fire has done its work. Hope you're blessed. I know you didn't understand what I said, but you did understand the branch and the vine that can, you know, that you can't, as a branch, produce fruit. You cannot produce fruit that abides. That abides. Cannot. Hope I freed somebody. I hope I freed somebody today. That you can't be perfect on your own. You can only be perfect by believing that Jesus Christ didn't lie. Amen.
Amen.
Woohoo!